Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's call on the disorientation response. We're working with transforming all the extra emotions, the overwhelm, the apathy, anxiety, etc. And as we work with those combination emotions, it tends to work with almost like I feel like a summary in a way of all the other pieces that have come before to a certain degree, as well as bridging into new territory. So we'll see what pops up for today. Thank you for all the messages that I received about what you'd like addressed for today. If there's anything that you haven't let me know that you're live in the call, feel free to type that into the chat feature. You can address it to me privately or to the group at large. And that'll just be the automatic default unless you select my name specifically. Okay. All right, my loves. Now, I wanted to let you know as well that in the email yesterday that I sent out, as well as on the course page, the schedule is updated, the survey results are in, and you guys have selected interesting times. So we'll see how this goes for attendance and how that works out for folks. I'm hoping it supports people in being able to join live as much as you'd like. The two most popular times were 8 a.m. Mountain Time and 1 p.m. Mountain Time, which is a bit of a change. For the last 2 years, it's been 10 and 12 have been the most popular times, which is what we've been doing up till now. So as we move into the new times, know that that is effective for August, and all the scheduling is on the email that you received yesterday, as well as updated on that course page. So make a note of that. Next week will be our last week on our usual routine that we've been in for the last 2 hours. And if for some reason we'll try it out and see, as long as things are going well in that regard, we'll stick with those times. And I'm always happy to reevaluate. So please give me your feedback along the way. Okay. All right, my loves, let's begin. So I'm going to invite you to settle in, get comfy and cozy, making any little adjustments. As you set yourself up here, beginning by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant or even neutral, taking time to savor it as you do so. Letting your body really melt and really savor all that comes with that for you. And as you melt here, I'm going to invite you to either open your eyes and look around externally, or if your eyes are closed, feel free to keep them there and look around internally. And as your gaze looks around, letting it land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. Pleasant to neutral. And when it lands on that thing, either externally or internally, that's really lovely for you to be with, or potentially just neutral, I'm going to invite you again to savor that and to receive it. Much like you might enjoy a fine meal, letting yourself really dig into that. And as you lean into that breath by breath, continuing to savor all that feels good about it, and noticing the little details now, and then taking those in too. Perhaps this thing that's pleasant reminds you of something. Perhaps it has a certain shape or a color that's pleasant. Or perhaps it's the way the light, the shadow play with it. Continuing to receive all that feels good about that. And as you do so, I'm going to offer my thanks. Thank you for being here, and thank you for calling this medicine in. Thank you to all that it's taken for this opportunity to meet here together in these sweet ways. Thank you to all of those that have come before you, your families that have created you, your ancestors that have created your family, and your lineage that's connecting all the ancestors that have come before you. Thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands with deep reverence. Thank you to sustaining all of our lives and all of those to come. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. And as we start off today's session, we're actually starting off in the sixth house, which is the house of practical action, intellect, awareness, discernment, being in alignment with what our body and our minds need to support our optimal health. As we go here, it's actually linking very specifically into the brainstem, which is the part of our reptilian brain that has, well, it has a fair amount of things that it does. I'm gonna not worry about the earphones right now. And I bought some, as you might have noticed there, they're falling out of my ears a lot. These are a new pair to me. I had to buy some on the road, so they're not designed the best to stick in my ears, it seems. But I shouldn't need to hear too much. I'll put them in at the end, and if you need my attention, I'm gonna keep my eye on your mics, and I'll notice if you unmute to say anything, as well as we have the chat feature, so feel free to type in there to try to direct me to anything, and I'll stop fussing there. Back to the brainstem. So that brainstem covers a fair amount of ground, but the part that we're working with the most is the decussation of the motor tracts, which is where things cross over, where your right brain controls the musculature of the left side of the body, and vice versa. The left brain governs the right side of the musculature, or the right body musculature. And as we work with that all, bringing in circulation of all the healing resources to that specific cross point, as we work with this consciousness of feeling like we're at a crossroads. So, where in your life might you be feeling like you're at a bit of a sticky crossroad or a point of decision? And we're just going to bring in circulation of all the healing resources to it, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous and our immune system alike to heal. And also working with the balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine, of nourishment and protection. And then as we circulate that, running hydration. Hydration, bringing in water and joy and releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here anymore. And as you bring in circulation of all those healing resources to feeling like you're at a bit of a crossroads and how potentially you're moving forward, how you're taking action. And it's linking into this consciousness of confusion around where am I? Confusion around where am I? To the point where it feels completely overwhelming. So this isn't just quite worry in the mix. This is kind of emotional soup type of confusion of overwhelm. and it creating almost like this fogginess, like things are a bit underwater or feeling surreal, like life is operating at a bit of a distance away from you. And within this, we're working with the belief system, quote unquote, that I will make the wrong choice. I make the wrong choice. My choices have been wrong, they've created pain, hurt, dismal failure, whatever it may be. It may be a whole bunch of all of that, or maybe some other things in between. And as we work with this, also working with this idea that you need to play, I think the expression I'm going to use, a sports metaphor, is Saturday morning quarterback. I might have that wrong. Whatever the day is after the big football game days, where you basically are overanalyzing the players' moves and their choices and what they did and how they took action and what they could have done that might have been better. As if all of that consistent reevaluation is forming its own type of internal critique. That's landing on your immune system as a form of attacking yourself. And that immune system picks up that message to then continue to attack yourself by overanalyzing those choice points, those decisions. And it could be something small over what you said or what you did. Or it could be a really big choice, like that partner that you were with for 10, 15 years, etc. Or the house that you bought, or the job that you took. So whether it's the big choices that seem to span a long time or the smaller choice points, working with the whole array. And as we work with this, we actually need to run a Sidri on the consciousness of self-doubt as it's come in through the maternal lines, as it's come in through the maternal lines going back. Not a small amount. We're going back 14 generations to 16 generations. Some of you need to go a little further back than others. And as we work with that, the Sidri on the self-doubt that's been in the consciousness of your feminine lineage, of your maternal lineage, there is this idea that as long as I constantly evaluate what it is I thought I was choosing and correct myself, then I will get ahead. Like this is some sort of a way to actually not just survive but to thrive. And that might have actually potentially worked 14, 16 generations ago, or even, you know, 10, 12 generations ago. But right now it's morphed into something that's different. And it's no longer as functional for the most part. No longer needs to be here. So as we work with this Sidri, it's going to continue to run for the next 4 days. 4 days. And as we work with it over the next 4 days, we're alongside of that, we're going to run diaphragm to intestines for you and your entire maternal lineage. So not a small thing. Okay. And this is all taking place in the physical region of your pelvis and the sexual chakra, which works with our immune system around acceptance, rejection. And it's as if all this self-doubt, internal critiquing, attacking, landing on the immune system as a form of rejection is here. So as we work with it, that Sidri stands for C, circulation of all those healing resources, all the same ones that we mentioned earlier, followed by D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out all the clutter that doesn't need to be here anymore. And as that cleans house, releasing all the stuff that no longer needs to be here, so you can readily reorganize what does need to be here and access it. Reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking to open up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness, thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as it unwinds through the system, through the pelvis, and as we also run diaphragm to intestines, we also need to reposition that sexual chakra, or sacral chakra as it's often referred to as well. And the whole chakra just needs to move towards the back body, excuse me. And as it moves towards the back body, I actually see it being able to, in the front of that chakra, open up to receive nourishment as you move forward, to be able to actually like digest what's happening without needing to go into the I have to overanalyze it or overthink it or over critique or over attack myself, over attack myself. To or critique myself, take out the over for that one as well. And as that's happening, it's as if the entire system decided that that was the way to keep you not just on your toes and out of trouble, but again, somehow a way to get ahead and to thrive. So you unwind the belief system that this is the way to quote unquote succeed. We're also releasing the belief system that success has to come at the cost of incredible sacrifice and pain internally. That success has the cost of incredible sacrifice and pain. And as you release that belief system, we're also going to unwind the connective tissue specifically around your sits bones, which were almost retracting and felt like the entire, excuse me, pelvis was fearing punishment and the entire pelvis was tucking. So as you release that, it's also going to support that sexual chakra in moving towards the back body and opening up your pelvis to again be able to receive what nourishes it to digest experiential changes on the fly in a way that nourishes you. And all of that is linking into House 12, House of Endings, releasing, surrendering, and allowing. Okay. Beautiful. With that underway, at the same time, we need to do a little bit of work between the pelvis and the heart. And they're both fairly, it almost looks like locked up. They're in this sort of like holding pattern where one isn't going to give before the other does. Which might remind you of times when you get into quote unquote pissing matches where you're like, I'm gonna stubbornly not budge until that other person gives in. They're gonna learn their lesson. They're gonna think about what they did and figure it out on their own without me saying a word, correct their behavior, and I'm not gonna do a thing about that. If they can't figure that out, forget it. Okay. Not that anyone here has ever played that game, I'm sure. And as we work with that, working with the back of the heart chakra as well as the back of the sexual chakra to support that. And we're going to do a few things here. We're going to bring in cell repair, which helps to restore the cells back to their fullest potential of health around the theme of stubbornness. And interestingly enough, that's linking through your posterior chain of fascia or connective tissue all the way down to the heels. And it's working with releasing the pattern of digging your heels in and being like, nope, I refuse to advance. I refuse to do anything to move this forward. I'm just going to sit here and not budge. Which again is a strategy, a way that you kept yourself safe that really worked. And might still really work on occasion. When you need it, it still gets to be there, but it doesn't have to be lingering in the system in a way that keeps you stuck or stagnant or limited in being able to respond and move forward in ways that might actually work for you quite well. So as we release that through the posterior fascial chain, we're going to simultaneously release, excuse me, the underlying apathy that's contained in the bladder meridian that runs down the back of the skull, down this either side of the spine, back of the buttocks, back of the legs, out to the outside edges of the feet. And as we release that through the bladder meridian, we're going to remind the bladder meridian of its natural planetary energy that hangs out with it, which is that of Venus, bringing in harmony, order, affection, grace. And as we restore that sense and the feminine essence of the Venusian qualities through to the back body, reminding your masculine back body what it is to be held in the feminine. It actually creates this internal union, the masculine and feminine, in a way that supports internal connection so that it can be mirrored in the seeming external. Perhaps there's no difference between the two. Okay, beautiful. And as we do that, we're going to release around the heels a fair amount of connective tissue adhesions. And we're going to do that not just for the heels, but going into either side of the foot, the outside edges and the inside edges. And these are rife with very powerful acupuncture points, along with a lot of nervous system energy, as our feet have a lot of nerve endings to them, which is on purpose. That's no mistake. We are meant to actually sense our position, sense our footing, sense how it is we're standing, sense how we're refusing to move, sense how we're capable of moving. What if these feet not just have to move, but what if they could do it with some joy, some play, some lightness? Or what if they're not doing that? And being able to sense that through all of the nerve endings that are here. As we do this, we're going to bring some love to the feet. We're going to do a couple things here, including circulation of all those healing resources. It's apparently Circulation of Healing Resources Day. And as those go through the feet, in particular working with, again, the outside and the inside edges, along with also the bottoms of the soles of the feet. And working with finding your footing, finding again that sense of, I have a position, I have a way to stand here. And as that happens, I see some of that confusion from earlier around, like, where am I, begin to soften as the feet get to become reoriented in essence. And as you reclaim these feet of yours, as you become embodied into the feet of yours, we're going to link them into the natural meridian that governs them, which is that of the kidney. And then we're going to link the minor chakras of the ankles and the feet through to that kidney meridian. And in particular, linking it into where the kidney meridian is very active in the low back area, around L5, S1. And from here, we also need to do an emotional release of sadness. It's around the sense of feeling lost or feeling adrift, and all the times where you didn't quite know where you were, or how to go, or how to stand, or what to do, or how to... All the times where there was overwhelming doubts and overwhelming senses of anxiety alike. And as we release that through the connection again between that low back and the feet, releasing all the sadness that went with that, all the sense of other people seem to know what they're doing and where they're going and how to get there, but how come I don't? And that's going all the way back now to two ages. The first is an age range, ages 2 to 4, as you were figuring that out, and determining in part your structures around needs and will. And then also working with the time frame in the womb space, where you were just developing that connection between the nerves in the low back going down to the feet. And there's a particular point in the intervertebral development of the babe where the body begins to bend in half. We can see footage of that. The little embryos are bobbing, essentially, where their entire upper body is bending in half as it reaches towards the lower body, and then it extends and it opens. And we're actually working with that particular stage of development where the nerves here are beginning to become alive and become into awareness. It's like, oh yeah, I can move my body. As I move forward, I can actually see my feet, connect to my feet. They're not quite seeing the womb, per se. But I can become aware of my feet. I can open back to let that awareness go. And as they do that, I imagine that connects as well to the capacity for us to become aware and to be able to shift our awareness from one thing to another. And as we unstick our awareness, meaning we can shift it and move it around, that actually becomes a tremendous healing resource. It's one of the massive systems that we, or one of the massive techniques that we use in trauma relief work, to be able to shift your attention from one thing to another, meaning not all is lost. We're not doomed to live in that state of anxiety, depression, whatever it might be, wherever the focus is. So we can think of this going all the way back to that womb space, as well as ages 2 to 4, where we're learning that we don't have to be so particularly single focused, especially on the things that have gone wrong or have not gone well. As we do that, we're also releasing the quote unquote fear of punishment. The fear of punishment showing up here again through the, primarily the pelvis and the legs, the leg. See, I gotta get away from that. I can't face that potential punishment, whether that was physical punishment, mental punishment, emotional punishment, or even the sense potentially of spiritual punishment, the leg. And as that begins to soften through the low back, through the pelvis, feel free to give your hips a little wiggle woggle, letting your body know that it's no longer stuck in those ages. It's no longer in the womb. It's no longer ages 2 to 4. That in fact, you have agency now, and that you can shift your attention between all of those times where you felt stuck in those ways, as well as the tools, the wisdom, the resources that you have available now as an adult. Beautiful. And then we're tapping this all out here. So invitation to breathe and receive. Now we need to work with that kidney meridian. We're going into the processing center of the kidney meridian, which is that of the ears. And in the ears, we're actually unhooking the consciousness of guilt as well as shame. So guilt is the voice of I did something wrong. Shame is the voice of I am something wrong. And from here, unhooking through the little ear bones, there's three of them, the incus, stapes, malleus, that help us to register sound. We're unhooking a couple of different belief systems, just finding the exact wording for those. Okay, they're actually connected to identity statements as well, and the wording here is, I am unwanted, and the other is, I am unlovable. And I am unwanted is connected to the guilt. I am unlovable is connected to the shame. And I am unwanted is more so on the left side. The right side is more the I am unlovable. And then through both, there's a common belief system that's linking both ears, which is that of I am undesirable. We're just going to begin to tend to those in a way that lets them be seen, be heard, and we can imagine that these voices, these belief systems, are actually connected to the little parts of you when you were small and developing, around ages 1 through 2 years old. And as we release this, we're also unhooking this belief system that goes with it, that because of all of that, I'm undesirable, unwanted, unlovable. My needs are not worthy. My needs don't need to be noticed. They should not need to be met. And because I'm undesirable, unwanted, unlovable, I just won't have any needs. And then that way, maybe I can up the chances around being able to receive the love, the care, the tenderness that I'd like to receive. So as we begin to release all of that patterning, which is not small, we need to unhook it from the governing vessel, 20 points, the center of the crown that governs that habit pattern that is also in the coating of all the nerves in the myelin sheath. That myelin sheath that coats all the nerves is meant to also support transduction of information, meaning it helps us to move signals along in a way that keeps us quick and sharp without having to strain yourself to do it. So you still get to be relaxed and slow internally, but also have mental awareness happening quickly without the lag time that sometimes is there when it takes things a moment to register, a moment to process. What does that mean again? And as we unwind all of those patterns through to governing vessel 20 points, also linking it through to the crown chakra for its role in transcendence. And then I just see almost as if, like, when a baby is born and the waters break, there's like this amniotic sac point that I'm sensing just above the head that begins to release and unwind. And as it releases and unwinds, that sac begins to shed in a way that allows for the baby to begin to advance through the birth canal. For the most part, some babies are born in their water sac, but that's a whole other thing. And as we work with this baby moving through the vaginal tract, helping to release those edges, those pieces where it gets a little bit sticky along the way, where that amniotic sac is not quite fully coming off of the body, which is making things a little bit more challenging to get through the birth canal in a couple of spots. Working with unwinding the sense that to get to where you want to go, it's always going to be a sticky, tough process. To work to where you want to get to go has to be tough and sticky. And as those contractions have begin to support the baby in moving forward, there's also the right to pause, to rest, to linger here. When things get a little sticky, it might be actually a call to slow down, not necessarily a signal to beat yourself up for having done something wrong and needing to push extra hard to move forward. Again, I'm sure no one here has that habit pattern in play, right? I should probably have both hands up for that one. And as we work with it, we need to actually release the past life energy. And this is a past life. Actually, let me just say this first. In past life work and body talk, we don't think that most people, like most people do, that you yourself have lived before, that you go on to live again. Rather that when somebody passes on, all their unresolved energies enter into like a giant pool, the mahat. When a new being comes into formation, they scoop up a bucket of pool water and they sort that out in their lifetime. So as we work with this particular past life, it's actually of someone who was bound, like the tied up wrists, ankles, the whole thing. And they weren't, well, essentially, they were held captive. And they were held captive and they were forgotten about. So they were totally dismissed, ignored, completely forgotten about, abandoned. One could say the ultimate height of neglect and abandonment intertwined into this past life all at the same time. And with it, the belief system, no one hears me, is developing for good reason. And within that, all the pain around, why is no one hearing me? Why am I impotent? Is the precise wording of that. Why am I impotent? And we actually need to unwind this past life, unhooking it primarily from your masculine nature, from your governing vessel meridian, your back body, and your right side of your musculature, as well as your left brain alike. This is fairly involved and fairly intertwined here. And with it, we also need to unhook the identity, the belief of I am forgettable, as in I don't have much of an impact, so why bother trying? That is the underlying sort of connection of meaning. And as we release that consciousness, along with the belief, the identity, and all the hook-ins that's coming off of as well through the entire spinal column region where that governing vessel meridian runs up the midline of the back body. And as we unhook that past life, for whatever reason, I'm seeing that image of the baby again, and I can actually see now a baby moving through the birth canal. So now that you're no longer feeling abandoned, neglected, left for dead, essentially, there's room to move forward through this birthing process. And it's as if that's all an extension from some of the work that we did last week, which, if I could sum it up in a sentence, would be good things come to those who wait. Yeah, and as we now have forward momentum happening again. I see baby continuing to, I'm gonna say crawl, it's not quite crawling, through the birth canal, advancing through the birth canal is probably a better way to put that. But what I see is baby having a sense of like, this is happening, and this is happening because I'm doing something. This is happening because of where I'm at, because of where I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what I'm offering, my energy is in the right spot. Not quite in that verbal adult languaging is baby present to that, but it's an energy, it's a tone, it's an imprinting of sorts. And there it's creating an imprint now as we repattern this from stuckness to success, to being able to move forward, to being able to not just succeed in a way that is like the old familiar pattern, but in a way that you get to actually slide through into success with greater ease overall, without the need to have to fight your way through. Cool. Okay. And as that continues, I now actually see baby's head popping out. And then the image that I'm seeing is almost like an animal when they get up from having rested or laying down or something, and they shake. I'm actually seeing baby's head go into a little bit of a shake, and it's not really their head shaking, it's actually their nervous system trying to shake off all of the stress, all of the shock energy around this big transition that's just happened. And as baby shakes off the shock, the stress, releasing it through in particular the chin, which carries often the belief system of I need to work really hard in life to get ahead. I need to work really hard in life to get ahead. And as that shakes off of the nerves, coming off of the nervous system, through the entire head, through the entire skull, face, brain, all the way even into the nerves in the neck, which is working with all of our cranial nerves, along with in particular that 10th one, the vagus nerve, which connects us into our parasympathetic nervous system, which operates at times during peace, healing, relaxation. Okay, beautiful. And then we're actually going to tap this out here. So I invite you to again breathe and receive. Okay. And I'm coming back to that image, and it felt very unique to do a tap out with baby just part of the way out. And I also really love that it popped up to do it that way, reminding us all again that we have the right to pause and rest and not to be rushed, that we have to take our time here, and we have to do it in our own rhythm, is what that all holds for me, that image, that understanding that goes with that. And then the baby begins to, it almost looks like baby wakes up from a bit of a nap and begins to get a shoulder out. Looks like the left one, I'm raising my right one, I'm seeing it in reverse mirror image, but it's actually baby's left one. switch that in my own body. And as baby's left shoulder comes out, we're going to greet it with the words, the permission statement, that girls are welcome in this world, that girls are welcome in this world, and that you don't have to fight to prove your worth any more or less because you're born as a girl. And as you release that, releasing that strain that goes all the way through the scalene musculature up through to the neck. We have a few different scalene muscles that connect to the times in our life when we were developing our need structure, our will structure, and our sense of autonomy, our sense of self to a degree. And as you release that sense of self, releasing the expectations of misogyny, the expectations of being treated differently based on your gender that you were born into. And as you release that through the left side, it's going in, the left shoulder, it's going into now a connection, a link here into the left side of the heart. And I just see all the way through the left side of the heart, the atrium, the ventricle, all the structures here, the words, the permission statement of, I am welcome. I am welcome. I am so welcome. And again, we're just gonna let Babe pause and take that in. And then the right shoulder looks a little bit stuck. It looks constipated almost in a way. Has a sense of hanging on, quote unquote, to shit. The pattern of hanging on to shit or low self-esteem in ways that aren't very helpful, ways that aren't terribly supportive. And there's just a little bit more here. I'm actually seeing all the way through the lung meridian, all the way through the thumb into the lung meridian that goes through the thumb side of the arm, all the way into the lung itself, more so through the collarbone region to a degree as well. And it's carrying, as the lung processes grief naturally, a fair amount of grief. But this is the type of grief that says, I've just faced so much loss that I can't face any more, and I need to cling, I need to hang on at all costs. And as the thumbs continue to work with this desire to cling, to hang on, we're working with the metal element that naturally supports the lung meridian, and along with the large intestine, which helps to process, again, not just grief, but also working on a physical level with releasing constipation. So we can think of the constipation as being somewhat metaphorical, in being constipated or stuck in what you're clinging to or what you're hanging on to. So what is it that you're hanging on to, or what is it you're afraid to let go of because you think that there might not be a sense of worthiness on the other side of that? And the irony is that we're hanging on out of low self-esteem, out of feeling like a quote-unquote piece of shit. That was being fed through all of the doubt, attack, critique stuff that we worked with earlier. So as you release that through this all, I'm just seeing image after image after image of wading through, like somebody wading through sewage, wading through the sewer system. And everywhere they go, as they're wading, they're just like looking down at the sewage. They're not actually seeing the ladders and the manholes to get up out of the sewer system because they're so focused on all of the other information. They're again almost blind through their singular focus here. and they're being blinded to literally the light above, the manholes that are opening everywhere, and not being able to actually notice what's there. You're actually going to connect in your sensual nature, your feminine nature, along with all 5/6, including intuition, senses, through to your feminine nature, reminding them how to interplay, how to interconnect, how to work together, and then linking that to the masculine body, the masculine half of you. As we do that, as the masculine remembers what it is to be supported by the feminine sensual nature, that it's worthy of that comfort, that it's worthy of that relief, that it's worthy of sensing another way of being able to shift its attention in a healthy way. I see it just ever so slowly beginning to work up the capacity, the courage to look around again. To be able to see another way out. And then I see baby remembering what it was like to get through all of those sticky spots, through the birth canal where it seemed like there was no light at the end of the tunnel, no way out. And then as baby, which is, by the way, you, in case I haven't been quite clear about that, begins to recognize these other capacities, these other potentialities, these other possibilities. It opens up to be able to get just enough energy to squeak that shoulder out. And as it does so, whew, big breath. There's amniotic fluid now being exhaled. And the lungs begin to prepare. They begin to prepare to receive air. And as this transition begins to happen slowly, ideally, we're in our mind, we're repatterning it slowly. The halfway point has now been reached, and the baby is out right to the navel point. And as the baby arrives just to this point, this is when the astrological stamping occurs. This is where that precise moment of birth happens, and the planetary alignments begin to imbue what it means to be here on Earth in this particular configuration. And then there's the opportunity to begin to accept that. And then the capacity to particularly step into that arises as now the legs and the hips begin to come next. And as the pelvis comes through, there's a little bit of a catching point, a little bit of a squeezing in through both sides of the hips, through to that ilium, as well as through to the iliac crest, the top of the sides of the hips. And particularly working with the left front of the top of the hip and the right back of the top of the hip. The left front of the top of the hip is also known as the ASIS, so the anterior superior iliac spine. The right back is the posterior superior iliac spine, if you like the fancy words. And it's as if there was a twist here as baby was trying to get out, and it's like as if the programming around the positioning that baby was going to have in its lifetime, the way it was going to hold its legs, its musculature, the way that it was going to receive its footing in life, its way of standing in the world, got configured here. And we're just going to repattern it so it doesn't have to do it from a twisted place, but to allow the hips to realign and to anchor into the earth below. And as it does that, I actually see the base chakra connecting to the earth through the legs. And as that happens, I actually see the earth element itself now coming not just through legs, but also through the hands and into particularly the thumb. And that lung meridian line. The lung is primarily metal element, but all of the pieces need to be here to a certain extent, and it was devoid of having the appropriate amount of earth here. And as we bring in earth, bringing in the sense of vitality as well as the capacity to feel received, to feel welcome to existence, to feel welcome to be here. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. It's the permission statement that goes with that. Welcome, we're so glad you're here. We can imagine, you can even imagine yourself saying that to your own little one, your own little babe, infant self. We're so glad you're here. And if it feels right, you can even imagine being in a place where you can reach out and hold them. And notice in particular your relationship to your thumbs, your hands, as you hold this little one lovingly, tenderly, welcoming them to the world through your touch and offering any additional words that feel right here to welcome this little one. And that wording might be something to the effect of, you may have already offered this. You came at the perfect time. Thank goodness you're here. We're so glad to have you here. Oh, what a joy, what a blessing you are. And offering any other words that feel right here. And as you do that, as you offer these words to your little one, I'm actually going to run a permission statement for you as an adult. And the words here are, your voice is enough. Your voice is more than enough to welcome this little one, to reprogram this. Your voice carries an impact here. I'm just reminding you of the power of these words, the energy that comes through expression, whether you're saying it out loud or quietly alike, it does not matter. Working with the capacity to express, in particular, love to this little one. This little one of yours. To you. And then out of nowhere, on the back of baby, right across the low back, I see the word self-love appear, like, yay, I get to receive what it is to be aware of love within myself internally. And we're actually going to link that into the kidney meridian for your baby self, as well as into the ancestral lines and into 16 to 18 generations of women that have come before you and into their lower backs. And as we do so, liberating that burden that's been born of carrying low self-esteem, undesirability, unwantability, unlovability. Those are might be words for today. And stepping into what's really here, that is your birthright on the other side of all of that, getting to remember what it is to be loved, to be welcomed, to be held, to be nourished again and again. I'm going to invite you to carry that forward for homework, as much or as little as you like. I'm going to link that into the ears, allowing them the capacity to really receive that essence of these words that you're offering yourself. So just like your voice is enough, your ears get to also be enough to hear that. And we're going to run a body chemistry on the immune system to address any intolerances to hearing words of affection, nourishment, and love. Tapping this out here. Breathing here. And offering that a few gentle breaths as you do so, potentially holding that little one And if you feel drawn to, you can actually also touch on that resource that we found at the very beginning. And as we touch into that resource, you're welcome to just see what it's like to be in that along with your little one and offer it maybe even to your little one as an offering of what it means to be nourished. And perhaps your little one might enjoy getting to experience what it's like to see you receive that as an adult, letting her know this is how we receive nourishment. And beginning to repattern that, this might be the equivalent in a way of feeding, of not just receiving nourishment, but remembering what it is to actively be able to look for it, to be able to actively take steps, literally, to stand in and take steps toward taking that in, and to receive that all the way through your entire digestive system tract. All the way through the front body. And then we're just going to run up permissions for the front body. It's safe to open up. It's safe to open up. We're going to tap that part in here. And continuing to stay in that process as much or as little as you feel called to. I have a short song. It's 2 minutes long. It's called Medicine. And it's by the group called Face Soul. And it's from their album YSRA. So I invite you to breathe and receive and to take time to drink that in. I heard the music was a little quiet from somebody, so I turned it up partway through. Hopefully that was good enough for all of you. Background noise is there again. No worries, we're at the end of the call, so thank you for letting me know that. And I just want to say thank you and offer my love to you all. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you so very much for drinking this in. Mwah. Have a beautiful rest of your day and week ahead. And next week I'll be back in my usual Saskatoon location. So I look forward to greeting you all from there. It was lovely to take this time with you all today. Have yourselves a fabulous rest of your week ahead. Bye for now, loves. You're most welcome. You're most welcome. My pleasure.